Certainly hope and trust that all is well with our souls this morning. You know, it is a very beautiful day outside. God has blessed us with a wonderful rain event, and I can truthfully say that it has really been a blessing to most of us that are here this morning. And I hope that we'll be very quick to express our gratitude to God for all that He continues to do for us. We thank you for coming this morning, and if you are visiting with us, we hope that you'll allow us the opportunity to greet you following the service this morning and to tell you how much we appreciate your joining us together in this song service by your words of encouragement through these songs and by your presence here this morning as well. Tonight's topic is entitled, What Judas Lost. You know, there are a lot of questions about the life of Judas Iscariot. And tonight we're going to talk about that subject. Who was Judas and what did he really lose? Was he destined to go to hell from the very beginning? Or did he really have salvation and did he lose it? And how did that happen? And tonight we're going to talk about that. A lot of people say, well, Judas had no power over his life. There wasn't anything at all that he could do to change his destiny. But was that the case? Is that true? So I hope that you'll be here tonight at 6 o'clock as we discuss the subject, What Judas Lost. Many of you know that I am a country music fan. I guess you remember that. One of the great songs in country music was a song that Garth Brooks recorded a number of years ago. It was entitled, If Tomorrow Never Comes. If Tomorrow Never Comes. You know, one of the most sobering lessons, I think, that we take from the events that happen to us in daily life, it is the lesson concerning the brevity of life. That we are here today, but gone tomorrow. And we are. James chapter 14 says, your life is as a vapor that appears for a little time, and then it vanisheth away. In Psalms 88 and verse 3, David said, life draweth us to the grave. And we are going to the grave one of these days, you and I. Now, during that period of time between when you are born and when you die is what determines your destiny. How you live. What goes on in your life? Are you prepared to meet God? Do you know if tomorrow were to never come, there would be a lot of things that I would want to accomplish today. And these are the things that I want to discuss with you this morning. I can tell you that there are a lot of people that are going to their destiny unprepared to meet God. And tomorrow will come for them. And it will come abruptly. Death comes very quickly. A lot of people can make preparation for their death, for they know that it is approaching, that it is going to come. But there are a lot of people who die instantaneously without ever any thought at all to being hurled into the eternal realm. So this morning, if you will, think with me on this subject, if tomorrow never comes. You know, if tomorrow never comes, I would want to be found in Christ. I would want to be a child of God. I would want to be a Christian. I would want to have surrendered my life unto Jesus Christ as the Son of God. You know, I'm always thankful when people do that. I'm always thankful when they do it on Sunday morning. But I'm always thankful when they do it even in the middle of the week, when they make that decision to obey God. Just last Friday, I had the opportunity to study with Tabitha Falk. And she made that commitment. And Tabby, you are here this morning. I'm going to ask if you would to stand to let our congregation know who you are. She is a very wonderful young lady. And I really love this young lady. I have known her from a child. And we appreciate her and love her. And her mother responded last week and to be restored in her relationship with God. And Tabby has made that same decision. She was baptized into Christ on Friday, and we rejoice in her conversion to the Lord. You see, she realized what many of us also realize, that tomorrow may never come. And if tomorrow never comes, that I would want to be right with God today. I would want to have made that decision to obey the gospel. Because I know that if I do not obey the gospel and I do not respond in loving kindness to the will of God, that I would be lost. For Jesus said, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free, John 8:32. And he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out, John chapter 6. But not every one that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. So what you have today in your hand is the key to life or death. That is eternal. Several years ago, there was an old man who lived in a community who was noted for his wisdom. As a matter of fact, everybody went to this gentleman through the years that sought advice and felt that they needed some kind of help in their lives. There was also a young man in the community that was very jealous of this old man and tried every way in the world he could to ensnare or to trap the old man and to do something perhaps to make him look silly in the eyes of other people. One day, this young man devised a plan. He went to the old man and he looked at him and he said, "Old man," he said, "I have a baby bird in my hand." He said, "Tell me whether it is alive or whether it is dead. Tell me whether it's alive or whether it's dead." And the wise old man knew that if he answered dead, then he would present it alive. But if he said that he were alive, then he would present it dead because he knew that he would squeeze it to death. Therefore, he looked at the young man and he said, "Young man," he said, "the answer to your question lies within your own hand." And you know this morning that your destiny lies within your hand. You can either live the righteous life and go to heaven, or you can live an ungodly, immoral, evil, corrupt life and go to hell. But the power to live or to die is within your own hand. And brethren, let me tell you something. Someday God will judge you. He's going to judge me. For the Bible in Hebrews 9:27 says that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after death, the judgment of God is going to come. Now, I know that many of you know that this morning, but we have a tendency sometimes to forget those things. Isn't it amazing how much we forget? I read about a 90-year-old man one time who was sitting on a park bench and he was sobbing his eyes out when a young man walked by and asked him the question. He said, "Sir, what in the world is wrong with you?" Well, through the old man's tears, his answer was this. He said, "I have fallen in love with a beautiful 25-year-old woman." And the young man said, "Well, what's wrong with that?" And he, between sobs, says, "Well, nothing really." He said, "But you just can't possibly understand." He said, every morning when I get up, my 25-year-old wife fixes me breakfast. She goes and gets the paper and brings it to me, and she fixes me a wonderful meal, and then she goes off to work. And then at lunch, she comes in and prepares me a delightful meal and hugs me and kisses me, and then she goes back to work. And then at night she comes in and she goes out to the yard again to get the paper and brings it into me and puts my slippers on me and hugs me and kisses me and then tucks me in bed at night." And the young man said, well, it sounds like you have a perfect relationship. Why are you crying?" And the old man answered through his tears, "Well, I've forgotten where I live." Well, you know, there are so many things in life that we have a tendency to forget. Some things that we choose to forget, but some things we don't really want to forget. If tomorrow never comes, I would want to be in Christ. But there's another thing. If tomorrow comes, I would want to have served God faithfully. You know what? There is a difference between just being in Christ. There is a difference between adorning the name instead of adorning the life of Christ. A lot of people wear the name Christian. I can tell you for sure, if you were to ask the average person in Palestine, because I know a lot of people think we have an ungodly community, but I think we have a pretty good community here in Palestine, and we all ought to work at trying to make it better. But if you were to ask the average person in Palestine, "What are you religiously?" A lot of people would say, "Well, I'm a Christian." But you know what? There is a tremendous difference between just wearing a name and calling yourself a Christian and really living up to that kind of life that Christ challenges us to live. The Bible says if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. His life must be changed. And Jesus in Revelation 2 and 10 said, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Let me ask you a question this morning. Are you faithful to God? Not what you really think, but would God judge you faithful? Would he? You know, a lot of people say sometimes, well, I think I'm faithful, but are you really faithful to God? A couple told a preacher one time that they weren't growing as they should in Christ. Quite often I hear that sometimes from people. And I ask them the question, well, are you reading your Bible? Well, no, I'm not reading the Bible. Are you praying to God daily about your life and about other people? Well, no, I'm not praying like I ought to. I really don't have a prayer life. Well, are you attending worship as you ought to? Are you observing the Lord's Supper? Do you come and meet with the saints of God on a regular basis? Well, no, I don't do that. And then they wonder why they are not growing as a child of God. The answer is very simple, my friend. If tomorrow never comes, I would want to have been faithful in the service of God. If tomorrow never comes, I would want my family and my friends to have a pattern to live by. You know, if Jesus teaches anything at all about this life, he teaches that we are to be an influence upon people. That we are to be helping other people develop a pattern of life that will lead them to heaven. Let me ask you this morning, how is your influence among people that do not know Jesus Christ? How many of you this morning are making an influence and having an influence for good upon those that are not Christians? We all ought to be. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, he said to imitate Christ. He said, as I imitate me, as I also imitate Christ. We all ought to today to be living before the world that they might see Christ living in us. Isn't that a prayer that we often pray? How often do you hear people say that? God, help the world to be able to see Christ in me. Let me ask you, does the world see Jesus in you? Or do they see you just as another individual? Do they see you just as another worldly person? Or do they see you as something that is distinct, someone who is peculiar in your relationship with Christ? What do they really, really see? If tomorrow never comes, I would want to have made a difference in the world around me. In Philippians 4 and 5, Paul says, let your gentleness or your unselfishness be made known unto all men. You know, sometimes people are just content to go through life. They never really live life, they just exist. They never want to achieve excellence in their life. They're just concerned about getting by. That's why people, have you ever noticed this? People ask questions about going to heaven and they say, well, what do I have to do to go to heaven? They're like a lot of kids who raise that same issue. Well, you know, what do I have to do to get by? What do I have to do to go to heaven? It should not be what do I have to do or can I just do the minimum and still get into heaven, but we ought to do all that we can for Christ. We ought to be a people of excellence when it comes to serving and honoring God and really being a Christian. That's exactly the way that Paul lived. And if tomorrow never comes, I would want to have made a difference in the world around me. But if tomorrow never comes, I would want my family and my friends to know that I love them. How often do you tell people that you love them? Do you really? When was the last time you told your wife you loved her? Or your husband that you loved him? Or your kids? You know, sometimes we just kind of assume that they will know. And, sometimes men forget their anniversaries. I won't. Mine is tomorrow. And I'm telling my wife right now, lest I forget it tomorrow. Happy anniversary, darling. Men forget their anniversaries. Wives forget their anniversaries. People forget to say, I love you. I'm going to tell you why I know that's true. Because I have seen people who walk by the bear up here when people have died, and they will lean over and they will hug and they will embrace their loved one and say, oh, I wish that I had told you that I loved you. And again. You know what? We will let our loved ones slip out into eternity, and we will echo those words at their coffin when we will not do it while they live. That's what that Garth Brooks song is all about. If tomorrow never comes. If tomorrow never comes. I would want my family and my friends to know my love for them. Paul did that. He was very careful to acknowledge that in his writings. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 9, he said, "In this I pray that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and in all discernment." I want you to know that I love you. That's what Paul is saying. And sometimes words are cheap, we say, but I'm going to tell you something. Words mean a lot. We all like to hear those words. I love you. I love you. And they're so important. And if tomorrow never comes, today is the only day that you have to say that to people that you love. You know, friends are so important to our lives. I think it's important that you tell your friends you love them. I think it's important that you tell your mate you love them and how important they are to your life. I recently read a story about UCLA football coach Pepper Rodgers. When his UCLA Bruins were off to a horrible start in their season, well, nobody really wanted to be around him. They just didn't want to be associated with him. Well, his friends didn't want to hang out with him at all, didn't want to be seen with him in public. And even his wife did not want people to know who she was. And he went on to say one time, he said to his wife, he said, "You know what?" He said, my dog is the only true friend that I really have. And he continued as he looked at his wife and said, "You know what?" He said, "Every man needs at least two good friends. And she bought me another dog." Well, we all need friends. We all need people that we love. And we need to feel important in the eyes of people that we love, that they hold our friendship dear to them as well. If tomorrow never comes, I would want my family and my friends to know that I love them. You know, Jesus Christ did that. He said, "My love I leave with you." And he did love them. The Bible says, having loved his own, he loved them to the end. Jesus did not leave this world without conveying his love to his friends and even to his mother, the one that he held dear. For at the foot of the cross, he challenged John to take her and love her. And he says, "Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother." If tomorrow never comes, last of all, I would want my last days and my hours to be focused on God, the Bible, church, and spiritual things. Let me ask you another question this morning. Where is your focus today? Where's your focus? If you were asked most people, they could say, "Well, my focus is on the economy. My focus is on my money. My focus is on my bailout. My focus is on my stimulus plan. My focus is on my health. My focus is on a lot of things." But is that where your focus really ought to be? Shouldn't your focus be on God? Shouldn't it? Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you," Matthew 6 and verse 33. That is the material things of life. No one likes to think about the fact that they may die. No one likes to think about in their mind the fact that tomorrow may never come. But it does. It does. I was down at the funeral home the other day. And I walked in and I was visiting with some of the folks there. And they began to tell me of the people that had died and were brought down to the funeral home. And they began to tell me that it was a daily occurrence. I knew that. Because people live and people die. And death comes unexpected most of the times. It does. I can tell you, by and large, the funerals that I preach are for people whose death occurs unexpectedly. And sometimes we live with regret. Sometimes people say, oh, if I knew that that was going to happen, I would have done this or I would have done that. I'm sure that there are people that will be lost in eternity with good intentions in their heart. But they procrastinated. They waited until tomorrow never came for them. They waited too late. They didn't have another day. You may not either. Do you know that some of you in this audience, and I'm going to tell you something, I have done this before, and I have spoken to audiences on Sunday morning, and I have made similar statements. Some of you may not live to see the dawn of the new day, and some did not. Now, that's not prophetic on my part. I'm just telling you that's what the Word of God teaches. You go to the book of 1 Chronicles, and a lot of people never like to read the book of Chronicles in the Old Testament, 1 and 2 Chronicles, because it's a lot of begets. But there's another thing in Chronicles you need to read, and that is that a person lived and he died. You'll see that woven throughout that book. And I'm going to tell you, Jesus Christ of Nazareth said that we're all going to die. Tomorrow may never come for you or for me. And now is the only time that you have to get right with God. This last week, and I know this sounds a little bit strange, and I don't really think a whole lot or believe a whole lot in premonitions, but I was talking with someone who reminded me of an event that occurred a few years ago. She said, you remember you baptized a friend of mine several years ago? I said, yes, I remember that well. And I remember her coming to me, and this lady came to me out of the clear blue. She had not been coming to worship here. She had been watching the Give Me the Bible television program. And she came to me and she said, you know, from what you all are teaching, she said, you know what? I know that I need to be baptized for the remission of my sins. She says, this feeling of death keeps surfacing in my mind. And I keep feeling that maybe my death is imminent, that it's going to happen very soon, very quickly, and I'm not prepared to meet God, and I want to get right with God. And this lady reminded me the day that within less than 2 weeks, this woman was killed in an automobile accident between here and Tyler. Death comes when we least expect it. Tomorrow may never come for you or for me. And I would want to know that my life is right with God, that I was in Christ, and I know the only way to get into Christ is to be baptized into Him. That's what the Word of God teaches. Galatians 26 and 27, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. I would want to be in Him. I would want to have made a difference in the world around me. I would want to have set the pattern for my family to follow. I would want my friends and my family to know of my love. I would want to have been faithful to God, because I know that God sees through us. He sees us for what we are, not what we claim to be. And I would want my last thoughts upon this earth to be upon God and the church, His holy word, and heaven. I would want my focus to be there. I hope that's where your focus is this morning. But if you're not a Christian this morning and you've not become a child of God, you've not put on Christ, you have an opportunity now to do that, and tomorrow may never come for you, and it would be too late. That's why preachers are always appealing to people. Today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. This is the only time that you really have. It is. And if this were your last opportunity to confess Christ and to repent of sin and to be baptized for the remission of sin, would you say no to Jesus? If this were your last opportunity, would you say no? Or would you quickly come this morning out of a penitent heart and a loving spirit to get right with Him. As children of God, we make mistakes. We all do. We all stray. We all have attitudes sometimes that do not reflect the Spirit of God. And there are times when we just simply have to go before God and say, Lord Jesus, forgive my sin. Forgive my haughty spirit. Forgive my horrible attitude. Forgive me of my sins. For tomorrow may never come. Life and death is in your hand. It's what you do with it. You can choose Jesus and live, or you can choose not to serve Him and lose your soul. What will it be this morning? Will you bring Christ your broken life while we stand and while we sing?